ministry fellowship or mission fellowship. EMF supports the Nikitovs in Belarus. We have had the Nikitovs with us on a couple of occasions over the last number of years. So Philip is going to come and share with us about the work of EMF. And just to say to you that following the service this evening, we will have a retiring offering for EMF. Again, just draw your attention to the prayer day, which is taking place on Saturday. And the slots are from 8 to 3. And if you can cover one of those, if you could put your name down on the sheet in the vestibule. And then to remind you of our musical evening that Tearfund are running. Many of you have bought tickets for that. Just ask you to note that we are meeting on Friday evening at 6:20 in the car park here to go up to East Belfast for that musical evening in support of Tearfund. So if you have purchased a ticket, please remember to be there. And if you haven't paid for your ticket, please bring your money. And again, just drawing your attention to the announcements concerning the BB and the GB. It's their 75th anniversary this year. Special displays and also a special service on the 14th of April. So do please take note of that. And just the last thing then is to remind you of our church weekend. We really need to know how many are going to come to that. The sheets are in the vestibule, so do please pick them up. You'll be grateful to know that's the last of them.
Good morning. You're very welcome to our annual PW service. Beautiful is the theme in PW this year, and all our branches throughout PCI have been exploring the beauty of the love and the grace of God and considering how we can reflect his beauty day by day as we seek to live our lives for him. Our first hymn this morning is, O God, Beyond All Praising. Let's worship God together.
Amazing.
Hilary is now going to lead us in prayer, and then Anne will read to us from God's Word.
Let us pray. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Lord, thank you for the beauty of creation. You have given us a beautiful world to live in. Through nature, you are able to teach us, speak to us, and provide for us. As spring begins, we are reminded once again of how amazing each new season is and how privileged we are to live here. Lord, forgive us for ill-treating your beautiful world. We pray for good stewardship of our earth and its resources. May we individually and collectively take responsibility for caring for our environment. Lord, we thank you for this church and the organisations which allow us to form friendships and grow closer to each other and to you. Today we think of members who are unable to attend through sickness. We pray that they would know your presence with them. We pray for the work of PW supporting Ministry for Women. We remember the projects supported by PW in local mission and globally, ensuring that more might hear about you and know your love. Lord, we pray for people who have been affected by natural disasters. We think especially today about the people of Southern Africa who have suffered as a result of a cyclone. We pray that aid agencies will be able to reach those most in need and that they will have the resources to help. Lord, we praise you and thank you. Amen.
The reading is from Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Amen.
Thank you, Hilary and Anne. We are delighted to have Kerry Gregg with us this morning, and Kerry is going to sing for us now. This piece is called I Stand in Awe of You.
Beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you.
Very pleased to have Chloe Fulton from the International Justice Mission as our speaker today. PW have been supporting IJM. They're now working worldwide to eradicate all kinds of modern slavery. And Chloe is going to speak to the children now, and afterwards we'll sing together All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Great. Good morning. Hello, boys and girls. I think there's still some more on their way down. But I want to ask you a question. Do you know what you want to be when you grow up? What do you want?
A scientist.
A scientist? Wow. What do you want to be?
Football.
A footballer. Wow. Anything else? What do you want to be?
A paleontologist.
Oh my goodness. A paleontologist. Gosh. And what do you want to be?
A teacher.
And what do you want to be?
A vet.
Oh wow. Does anyone else have anything that they want to be? No? So whenever I was younger, I wanted to be an explorer. I was always going on big walks with my mum and dad, and I grew up in Yutnard, so we always went up to Scrabo, up to the forest park, and I was always running off and finding my own path and trying to climb all the trees and trying to discover all these new and exciting things. And whenever I was younger, I wanted to be an explorer, and I thought that that was what I was going to do. I want to tell you the story of a little boy that grew up on the other side of the world, and his name is Surya. He grew up in a place called India, and he had lots of dreams as well. Maybe he wanted to be a scientist, maybe he wanted to be a teacher, maybe he even wanted to be a paleontologist. But because his family were poor, they weren't able to follow through on all the dreams that their children had. And Surya's dreams were very sadly put to the side, and he wasn't able to think about what he would be whenever he was older. But one day, a man came to their village, and he said, "I have a great opportunity for Surya. Here's a great plan for him. He can come with me to this other village. He can come with me, and he can go to this great new school. And when he's there, he can learn all these new things, and he'll be able to grow up and do whatever he wants." His parents believed this and thought it was a really good idea. And so Surya went with this man to this other place. But when he arrived there, he realized that there was no school and that the dreams that had been promised were actually a lie. Instead of going to school to learn all these amazing new things, Surya was instead put to work. He was made to go to work every day as a young boy. He was only 11 years old. And instead of going to school and playing with his friends, he had to work in a dangerous factory, making lots of sweets every day, doing really dangerous work and sometimes hurting himself. Saria was there for 5 years and he wasn't able to go back to his family. But there were people who had heard about what was happening. And there were people who heard what was happening to Saria and they wanted to make a difference. And so the people that I work with, IJM in India, they came to the local police and they said, we've heard the story of this young boy. This little boy, he had lots of dreams and wanted to grow up and do exciting things, is instead working in a factory as a slave. That means he wasn't getting paid for his work. That means he wasn't able to go home and visit his family. And so when the police heard this, they decided they were going to do something about it. And so they travelled to this other place and they looked for him. They found lots of other children working there and they were able to rescue them and bring them home to their mummy and to their daddy. But they couldn't find Saria. He wasn't there. He had been moved somewhere else. And so the police started again. And for many, many months, they searched all these other places and they found lots of children. And eventually, after almost a year of searching, they were able to find Saria. And they called home to Saria's mummy and daddy and said he was once lost, but now he is found and he is coming home. I love that story because it reminds me so much of what we read about Jesus in the Bible. Jesus tells a story to the people gathered of the sheep that went missing. You might know this story. A shepherd had 100 sheep and one day he counted them. 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 99, and number 100 was missing. Maybe that sheep was a little bit like me. Maybe it wanted to be an explorer and it found a new path and suddenly found itself lost. And the shepherd didn't think, oh well, I have 99 sheep, this'll do. He realised that the sheep that he had and that he loved was missing. And so he went and he searched, and he searched and he searched. And in the Bible we read that the shepherd searched until he found him. Until he found the sheep, he kept searching. He didn't give up. He didn't keep looking until it got too hard. He didn't go looking until people told him that it was impossible. He kept looking until he found the sheep. And when he found him, he celebrated. He carried him home and he had a great party. And that story reminds me so much of what IJM is doing. That they don't search until they give up. They don't search until it's too hard. They search until they find the missing boys and girls like Saria. And now he's home with his family, with his mummy and his daddy, and he's able to dream again. Maybe he'll be able to become a scientist or a teacher, maybe even a footballer or a paleontologist. But now he's home where he belongs with people who love him, and he's able to dream about his future. Thank you.
Creatures.
Now, as the boys and girls leave for children's church, we will have our offering. Thank you. And we'll just pray together. Dear Lord God, you have given us so many beautiful gifts to enjoy, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We bring you our gifts now, and we ask that you will use them for your glory and to change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to sing again now. At the beginning of the service, we would have seen some beautiful photographs of this incredible world that God has created. And now we are going to praise him together as we sing Creation Sings the Father's Song.
Break the door and run the course of
is going to sing for us again now, and this song is entitled If I Can Help Somebody, and then afterwards Chloe will come and speak to us. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not. If I can help somebody as they pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world that is wrought, if I can spread love's message that the Master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Can help somebody as they pass along, then my living shall not be in vain.
It's really great to be with you all this morning. As already has been said, my name is Chloe and I work for International Justice Mission here within Northern Ireland. And it's been a real privilege for our small team to partner with PW across Ireland this year. And it's been a great blessing for us to know that many groups across the island have been gathering to learn about our work, but more importantly, to pray into our work and to support it. The work that IGM does across the world We very much believe that this is God's work, that there is something that he calls each of us into, to seek justice, to bring about restoration and change into the lives of those who are suffering, those who are perhaps the forgotten of their societies, those who are often overlooked. IJM is an anti-slavery organisation, and throughout the Bible we read a lot about those who are enslaved, about those who are suffering, and also about God's heart for justice. And my hope is this morning that I'll be able to share a little bit about the heart of IJM, the work that we do through stories, but also to share a little bit about the heart of God, how he cares so deeply for those who are suffering and how he calls each of us into this story. IJM is currently one of the world's largest anti-slavery organisations. It's made up of lawyers and investigators and social workers who work within countries where slavery is extremely prevalent. But it's also made up of church leaders who want to take a stand for justice within their communities. It's made up of supporters who commit to pray all over the world for the work that is being carried out. And it's made up of people like me and people like you, I hope, people who hear these stories and want to respond. So I hope that as I share that, yes, you'll be excited by what you hear, that you'll be inspired, but perhaps also that you'll be challenged to continue your support for this work. Would it surprise you to know that in our world today, there are over 40 million people living in slavery? That's a huge number, more than what it should be. Slavery happens in every corner of our world and in many different forms. It shows its face in many different ways. It can look like the story I shared with the children earlier, of the young boy who thought he was going to a good school and instead was tricked into a life of slavery for many years. It can look like the family who, in trying to pay off a loan for a medical bill, find themselves working to pay off a debt that never seems to disappear, with false interests added over and over and over, until suddenly they find themselves living in slavery for many years, paying off a debt for as little as £6. It can look like the young girl who thinks she has found a great job opportunity in the next city and moves, only to realise that it's not a job opportunity at all, but that she's been tricked into a life of slavery within a brothel. Slavery can look very different in many different ways, and in each place and in each time it is devastating, and it destroys the lives of those who are involved. It's a huge number, more than what it should be. Slavery is illegal in almost every country in our world, and yet it is as big a problem as what it has ever been. During the height of the transatlantic slave trade, there was an estimate that over 12.5 million people had been trafficked into slavery from the continent of Africa to elsewhere in the world. And that was during a time whenever slavery was legal and promoted. And yet now, in a world when we know this is wrong, when we know this shouldn't happen, where it has been outlawed, it is more of a problem than what it was then. And this is for many different reasons. But one of the main reasons that we as an organisation has found is that although there are good laws in these countries, although there are good laws on the books that look like they should protect those who are most vulnerable, these laws are being ignored and they're not being enforced. And so people who are committing these crimes, who are enslaving individuals, are getting away with it. Why would they stop doing what they're doing when they know there's no risk? Why would they stop doing something that makes them a lot of money when they know they'll never be caught? And so IJM as an organisation is trying to eliminate that problem, to make sure that those who are committing these crimes are brought to justice, and in doing so, creating a sense of change within their communities. Slavery is a huge problem. 40 million people, and 1 in 4 of those people are children. Children who should be in schools, in families and in playgrounds, instead find themselves working in sweet factories, in brothels and in fishing boats. This isn't right, and I believe that this breaks the heart of our God. I want to tell you the story of one of these young children. His name is Foley, and he is from the country of Ghana. I don't know if you know much about Ghana. I didn't until I started working for IJM. It's an African country to the west coast of Africa. And it's famous for many things. It's famous for its cocoa industry. A lot of chocolate comes from Ghana. It's famous for its football, the people there love to play football. And it's also famous for its lake. In Ghana, there is a lake called Lake Volta, and it's one of the world's largest man-made lakes. And what that means, very simply, is that below the waters, instead of finding clear waters that you can swim through, that you can easily fish, that you can easily sail small boats through, you find waters that are full of dead trees and other things that were once full of life. Because where this land or where this lake is found, it was once thriving, but it has been flooded to create an artificial lake to create an economy within the small fishing villages. And so underneath the surfaces, there are many dead trees and debris, and the fishing nets and the boats would often find themselves tangled up in these dangerous waters. In this place, at this lake, there's a lot of fish. And because of that, there's a huge fishing industry. And what has been discovered over many years of research is that rather than there being businesses carrying out the fishing work, rather than there being strong men and women who are working on the lake, there are instead many thousands of young boys who have been sold into slavery. In the surrounding fishing villages, there are many families that are struggling. They're not able to provide for all of their children. And so when they're presented an opportunity to send their children to the lake to answer the false promises of a good opportunity, they're told there's a school. They're told there are lots of children that they'll make friends with. They're told that they'll be able to make a little bit of money to send home. Suddenly, thousands of children every year are sent to the lake in the hope of a good opportunity, in the hope of a way to provide for their family, but instead find themselves enslaved working on this lake. One of the boys who ended up living this nightmare was a young boy called Foley. He lived in a village close by to the lake with his grandparents. He had a good and happy childhood. He remembers being able to go to school. He remembers being able to eat good food every day, at least one hot meal a day. And he remembers following his grandfather any time that he could. He would follow him into the village to watch him purchase their food for the week. He would follow him into the fields to watch him carry out his work. Foley loved his grandfather very much, and his grandfather loved him also. But Foley's grandfather knew that there would come a day when he would no longer be able to provide for Foley. He knew that he was getting old, and perhaps he wouldn't be able to care for him in the same way. And sadly, that day came much sooner than it should have. Foley's grandfather was involved in an accident in the village, and he became badly injured. And he wasn't able to go back to work, and he had to borrow some money to help with his medical costs. And suddenly Foley, through that one accidental act, was no longer able to go to school and was no longer able to have his hot meal a day. His small family was thrown into serious poverty. And this is where his story started to become a lot worse. A local man came to his home and said, "I've noticed that things are different for you. I've noticed that you're struggling. I noticed that you're no longer going to school. I noticed that you're no longer eating good food. Let me help you. Let me help your family. I own a small boat. I have a small business by the lake. And sometimes I bring boys out and I train them up. I teach them a good skill. And then they're able to earn a little bit of money that can be sent back to their home. As well as that, there's a really good school that you can go to and you can learn. And maybe one day you could get a good job in the big city. There are other boys who work with me as well. And you'll be able to become great friends with them. You'll be able to play. You'll be able to have a good time." Foley heard this, and Foley's grandparents heard this, and they thought that it was a great idea. They thought that Foley, rather than suffering where he was, would be able to have this great opportunity, that some money would be able to be earned to help pay off the medical bills, and that surely after a short amount of time, Foley could return home and come back to the life that was so normal and so good for him. And so Foley went to the lake. And sadly, like so many other children, when he arrived, he realised it was a lie, that there were no children playing because they were too tired, they were too exhausted. Because rather than going to school every day, they found themselves on the lake. In the small hours of the morning, the boys would go to the shores and sail out onto the lake. Because during the day, the sun was too hot for the fish to swim near the surface. And so in the middle of the night, they would cast out their nets and wait. And after so many hours, they would begin to haul in these heavy, heavy nets, too heavy for any small child to pull, and yet they had to. Once they had done that, they would then sail back to the dry land and start to sort through their catch to figure out what they could sell that afternoon at the markets. If any of the nets got tangled up, then they would spend the remainder of their time fixing and mending these nets, only to go back to sleep late at night to start the nightmare all over again. The life of these children was more than just hard work. It was work that was dangerous and work that very often was under the threat of extreme violence. If the boys didn't carry out enough work, then they would be beat. If the boys didn't do as they were told, then they would be hurt. If the nets got tangled up in these dangerous trees that were below the surface of the water, then they were forced to dive into the waters to untangle the nets. The boatmaster said that the children did it because they're small and their hands are nimble and they're able to untangle the nets quickly. That was part of the truth. The darker truth was that the boatmasters knew that that work was far too dangerous for them, and they would rather a small boy who could be easily replaced would be better than themselves diving into these dangerous waters. Sadly, many of these children never learnt how to swim, and so for some of them, they never did come back to the surface of the water. 40 million slaves, one in four are children, and many thousands are living as slaves on the lakes in Ghana, on Lake Volta. Foley is one of them, and he is one of the children that we have been able to work with over the past number of years. I'm going to stop his story there, and I will come back to it. But I hope as you hear this story that it is moving something within you, that you realise that the world is not as it should be, and that children are being treated in a way that they shouldn't be, and that we as God's people have a responsibility to react to this. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount, and he is teaching many people who have gathered to hear from him. And it's in this portion of scripture that we come across the Beatitudes, these blessings that Jesus speaks over what seems like situations that make no sense in our world, and yet Jesus speaks blessing over them. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, we read this: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." In another translation of the Bible, we read, "God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied." This isn't a typo. This isn't that one translator has thought this word would fit better. Justice and righteousness. Why are these two words used for the same verse? Often when we read these words in the Bible, they find themselves tied together. Justice and righteousness in the Bible are words that are symbiotic. They are words, when they're put together, carry a deeper meaning. To seek justice is to recognise the wrong that is in our world and to put it right. It's to recognise the situation that is wrong and to try and fix it. And to seek after righteousness is to seek after a world in which the wrongdoing cannot occur again. So to seek after justice is to put the wrong thing right. To seek after righteousness is to make sure that the wrong thing can't happen again. And here we read that God blesses those who hunger and thirst after these things, and they will be satisfied. This isn't a new thing that Jesus was presenting the people who had gathered. This is something that we read throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures, that God continuously calls his people to justice and to righteousness. God does this because it is very much his heart and his character. But he also continually does this because his people are forgetful. We read through so many stories in the Old Testament of how God rescues his people, how he brings them to a place of blessing, and then they fall away from him. And then they stop following him. They do their own thing, and then God has to rescue them again and again and again. His people are forgetful of his goodness, and so he often has to remind them of these promises and of these calls to action of justice and righteousness. And one of these calls to action is found in Amos chapter 5, and that is the reading that we heard from earlier. In this book, God is speaking to the prophet Amos, and he is looking at what his people are doing. They're going to the temple as they should. They were carrying out the sacrifices as they should. They were having religious festivals as they should. And yet, their hearts are not in it. They look the part. For all outsiders, it looks like they are following God. It looks like they are obeying his commandments. And yet their hearts aren't in it. Their actions outside of the temple don't match up with the things that they are doing. Their actions to their neighbours and those around them doesn't look like the actions of someone who follows and loves and obeys God. Here we read this very stern rebuke from God. He says, I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. In that moment of Israel's history, God didn't want their empty praise and sacrifices and festivals. He wanted their actions to reflect his heart. He wanted how he treated those around them to reflect his character. He wanted justice like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. That was what was important to God. Foley's story comes from the country of Ghana. And unfortunately, slavery in Ghana isn't something that is only found in 2019. Ghana has a dark and terrible history with slavery. During the transatlantic slave trade, many families, many individuals who were taken from their homes were brought to the coasts of Ghana, because it was from there that the slave ships would then take them to Europe, to America, and to many places around the world to live as slaves. While they were waiting for the slave ships to arrive, many of these people were put into what were once grand castles, but turned into prisons for this purpose. And in these prisons, these people cried out for help and for rescue. They cried out for those nearby to hear their cries and to rescue them, to be reunited to their families, to be brought back to their own countries, to their own towns and villages. And perhaps they even cried out to God to hear them. Perhaps they remembered stories that they had heard of how God's people had cried out and God had responded. The history books tell us that some people did hear their cries. For above these castles that had been turned into prisons, above these prisons were built churches. And what we read in the history books is that as God's people gathered to worship, to sing, to hear his word read aloud, and as they heard the cries of the people below them, their response was not to act justly and not to act with righteousness, but to sing louder, to drown out the cries of those who were suffering. This is a dark point in the history of the church and their opportunity to respond to injustice, but yet decided to ignore it. And sadly, we see again that God's people are forgetful and they don't realize the call that they have to act justly to those who are suffering. We see this again and again throughout history. In the year 1880, a Bible was published for those who were living on sugar plantations as slaves. What a great idea. They would have God's word. They would be able to read these incredible promises. But it wasn't the Bible that we know. It wasn't the 66 books of God's word. It wasn't the stories of freedom and justice and restoration. It was a Bible that had been cut and pasted and manipulated to serve the purposes of the slave masters. It opened with the story of Genesis and suddenly skipped all the way ahead. We didn't read about Joseph. We didn't read about Moses. If we couldn't read about Moses, then the Ten Commandments make no sense. And of course, there's no story of an Exodus. How can you tell the story of Jesus when there's no mention of freedom? And so we hear these stories of people who said they loved and followed God, and yet weren't acting justly. And yet we know that God's word still prevailed. The people still came to him. And there were those who did know and love and follow and obey him, who were able to help bring those out of slavery and bring about change within their communities. William Wilberforce, a great man who followed and loved God, was able to campaign his entire life to bring about the abolition of slavery throughout the British Empire at that time. In Psalm 19, we read that the heavens declare the glories of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice has not been heard. And in that psalm, we realize that even if God's people don't proclaim his word, that God still has a way to do that. But yet he invites us into this work. Even if we don't act justly, God will still find a way to bring about his work. And yet he invites us in to this story of seeking justice. I want to come back to a Foley story. Obviously, I'm able to tell it because I know how it ends. He wasn't left on the lake. He was working there for many years with young boys similar to his own age. And he had begun to hear stories, rumours on the lake of rescuers coming. And those rescuers were people who were working with IJM. Everywhere we work in partnership with the local authorities, with the local police. It's not enough for us to just come in and try and do the work ourselves. We want to do it in partnership so that that work will continue even when we're gone. And so we gathered some evidence of some boatmasters who we knew were keeping boys as slaves. And we presented it to the local police. And we said, this boatmaster has this many slaves. This boatmaster has this many slaves. Will you help us rescue them? And they said yes. And so we went to the lake one day and we rented some boats. And they sailed out onto the lake, searching boat by boat by boat, until eventually they found some boats that were keeping boys as slaves. While this was going on, Foley tells how his boatmaster, seeing these police boats in the distance, told the boys to dive into the water and swim away. The police are coming and you will be the ones who will be in trouble. Swim away and you will be saved. Some of the boys believed these lies, but Foley knew that the chance of rescue was better than the life that he was living. And so he courageously defied what the slave owner was telling him and stayed on the boat. The boat was able to sail up to his. It was full of police officers. It was full of IJM investigators and also social workers so that he was immediately able to get the care and support that he needed. Foley and some other boys were brought onto the boat and they were told, you are free. You're no longer slaves, you're safe. And they were brought back to dry ground where they were able to get medical attention, where they were able to start some aftercare processes, and where they were able to play football and sing songs and be children again. After a few days, Foley's grandfather showed up by the lakeside. He had heard that some boys had been rescued from slavery, because while all this was going on, Foley's grandparents and other families within the village had heard rumours that the school that was promised didn't exist, that some of these boys were being forced into slavery. Foley's grandfather knew that he could not allow this to continue, and so he travelled to the lake to look for his grandson. And he was amazed when he realised that Foley had already been rescued, that he was already on this path for healing, and that he was able to return home. Foley's now living with his grandparents again in their village. Foley's grandfather's injuries have healed, and any outstanding debts that they had for medical attention have been paid in full. Foley is now back at school. He's now back in a family that loves and supports him. And now that the local community knows more of these issues of slavery, they have been able to help support Foley's family and others that are vulnerable and suffering to the issues of slavery. The church in Ghana has said no to slavery. Alongside working with the local police, IJM has also spent a number of years working with the local church leaders, helping them think through issues of justice, helping them understand the issues of slavery within their own communities, and training them up so that they're able to speak words of justice and freedom and restoration within their own communities. And there's some incredible things happening in Ghana through the local church, through men and women of faith who are standing up against the sin of slavery and who are doing something about it. The local police are standing up. The local churches are standing up. And that is something that we here in Northern Ireland and at NARS can also stand up to as well. Fighting slavery isn't something that you can only do if you are in the country where it happens. We as God's people have a responsibility to help those who are suffering around the world, to not simply sing over the sufferings of those who are our neighbours or further afield, to not simply ignore the cries for help, but to use what we have to make a difference. And there are many ways that we can be part of this story. As I said at the start, we are so grateful for the support of PW and what that has meant over the past number of months in prayer and financial support. But this is something that can continue beyond that. Around the world, we have many people who support us through prayer, and that is something that is so important. But there are some ways that you can support us in greater ways as well, as a church family, to commit to pray, and perhaps your weekly prayer meetings as well. We would love it if you would consider supporting this work in a practical way as well. Our investigators, our social workers, our lawyers can carry out this work, knowing that the support is coming from around the world to enable them to do so. And so if you would like to do that, please do chat to me at the end. I have some magazines with more stories. I have some leaflets for you if you want to support our work through prayer or other means in another way. Thank you.
Thank you, Chloe, for all that you have shared with us this morning about this very interesting and life-changing work of International Justice Mission. We've all learned a lot about the slavery that is still so prevalent in our world today and the work that IJM is doing to combat it. Thank you. We're going to conclude our service now as we sing together, Filled with Compassion for All Creation. Just before we sing, I would be grateful if the ladies of PW could wait for a few minutes just at the back of the church, just for a very quick moment of meeting. Thank you.
Jesus came here.
and our benediction. May the peace of God be in our hearts, the grace of God be in our words, the love of God be in our hands, the joy of God be in our souls, and may the beauty of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be reflected in all of our lives. Amen.